Access number 30403, Mr. Andrei Kodin, Rio 6. Now, you were saying that the manager, but we were talking about in this Quaker hostel for non-Jewish refugees in Leeds, and you'd had a fight with your Czech roommate, or he provoked a fight, and then the manager burst in.
Yeah, he burst in, quickly. And I told him, I spoke to him, and he himself was a refugee from Vienna also, a non-Jewish man. And I told him, and I said, look, he picked a fight over there. You know, he's always been, having a go with me. And this time he went a little bit too far. He picked a fight with me. He threw a punch at me. And this was that. And the manager reported it to that Quaker lady. And she came down, she had a word with, she came, spoke to me, etc., etc. And she said, look, this won't. No good for the future. I'll tell you what I'll do. Because I tried to get a job, left that out. But there was another man in there, a Sudeten German. Do you know what a Sudeten German is? Yeah. He was in there who had a friend who ran a glass factory near Leeds in a small place. I do not remember the name. And whilst I was staying at the hostel, he arranged for me to work at that gas factory, right? And which it in itself is a story. I used to go there, and I was told to work. I have to do the late shift, right? And I used to come in there, and that it was really. I don't know, do you know, there were the ovens, one beside each other, and they had stuck the bloke, and he put his, what you call it, into the molten glass, and over here were the benches, right, and they filled the forms, right, and they moved on a sort of moving belt, and further down the belt, there were ladies, women, who used to when they cooled down a bit, they put them on the side, and then they packed them away. Now, when I used to come in the evening, and the evening shift was there for the ladies, this was an experience where I learned Yorkshire sense of humor. I used to walk in there. I had a lot of curly hair, right? And I had to walk past these ladies there. and they were standing there, they were sweating, it was a hellish sweat, the sweat was running down, and they opened their blouses, opened their blouses, right, because it was so hot in there, and when I walked past them, some some of the ladies, they got hold of me by the hair, and put my head between their sweaty breasts, bosoms. And after a while, I appreciated the joke, and I used to laugh. And they used to, they always, they liked me, and etc. But it couldn't go on because this Quaker lady couldn't find any accommodation for me, and that place with Janusz there and the other people there, she said, I'll tell you what, she's got a friend in Birmingham, right, and she spoke to her, and that lady is prepared to receive me. Right, bring me to a accommodation in Birmingham in Edgbaston, and she'll find me a job. Yeah. And then this Quaker lady from Leeds, she took me to Birmingham.
Now, what year is this? Still 40.
This is still
40.
In 40, yeah. She took me to Birmingham. This is going towards the end of 40, right? She took me to Birmingham, and she handed me over to that lady, recommended me, you know, and told he's a nice boy and all the rest of it. And that lady took me then to, it wasn't really a hostel. What it was, the Quakers paid for the accommodation. It was a house run by a Birmingham woman, right, who owned it. And you may, well, you're too young, but you must remember that in Birmingham there's the BSA, the Birmingham Small Arms Factories. And at that time, Birmingham was full with young women from Southern Ireland who worked in the armament factories. And this place was full of these Irish girls, right? Working in the war industry, right? In the British small arms. And she got me a room there. Well, when I say a room, it was actually the entrance hall had been partitioned off by a curtain, and a couple of beds had been put there. And that's where I got a bed. And then I quickly got a job at a factory, the Birmingham Bicycle Company. Now, the job they gave me there was a really, I wasn't aware of it, you know, at the time, but it was my luck that I left. Because what it was, what they did, they didn't produce new bicycles, but they got old frames, right, and they renovated them, you know, and they made new bikes out of them. Now, the cause of that was that at one stage, the frames of the bicycle used to go into a great big cubic, sort of, yeah, and it had a glass, a window, and two holes where you put your arm in. Now, inside that cubicle, there was a tube, right, and which had a switch on there, and you used the other arm with the left one. You took the frame, and where it was soldered and whatnot, and you switched that tube on, and there was a hell of a lot of pressure coming out with lead crystal, you know, with lead particles, and by the time you finished, the frame was, you know, all the old paint had been blasted off and that. Now, in the evening when I got home, I washed myself and I looked, I felt something in my eyes, and I looked, and then in due course I found that there were about a dozen lead particles in each one of my eyes, you know, just on the, and I pulled the lid down, right? And in that factory also, there was a young lad, a little apprentice. He was a very nice little boy, and he sort of attached himself to me. And at lunchtime, when he sat outside, he used to talk to me, and he wanted to know where was Vienna and what's that, you know. And I told him, and I found it very pleasant to talk to that lad, because he remembered everything you said, and he asked you more questions. You know, you could see his brain was working. And I was really pleased with that lad, because the others, they didn't talk to me, the other workers. You know, they ignored me. But then the lad told me, listen, Andy, one day, he said, what do you do with your milk? So I said, what milk? He said, well, the job you do, you get a bottle of milk every day. So I said, I never had one. She said, well, you should. And that's all I needed. And I got up, I went to the foreman, I said, where's my bottle of milk? I'm supposed to get a bottle of milk. And he pretended not to know. He said, oh, well you're not having your milk? So I said, no, never had a bloody milk, not a drop. And he said, and then I found out that they were sharing it. You know, they said, a bloody foreign lad, fuck him. we'll use the milk. And I was so annoyed about this. Now, before that, it was my 18th birthday. Had just been round about in this, right? And I'd been walking through Birmingham. You know, I always didn't know what to do with myself, and so. And I came across an army recruiting office in New Street, right, in the centre of Birmingham. And after this happened at the factory, I was so annoyed. I had already wanted to. I had made inquiries, how can I, as a foreigner, join the army? And I walked into that recruiting office, and I asked them, I said, look, can I, I'm fit, but I'm of foreign origin, can I join the army? And the chap said, yes, yes, etc. He said, sit down, and so. And I signed up. I got a shilling.
Now, were you signed up for anything in particular at that time, or just the army?
No. That's a funny story that happened later on a little bit. He told me I can join a. He told me about the pioneers. Right? He said, that's the only one you can join. Right? And I said, well, it's a uniform. I didn't know the intricacies about the whole thing. When he told him the pioneers, so, well, all right, so it's a unit, etc.
And this was just after your 18th birthday, so it's yeah. October 40, 1940.
After that.
November then?
No, it was... In the next year, in the spring.
1941, spring of 1941, yeah. Okay.
And I joined up. And talking about did I want to join the army or anything else, when my experience with the army afterwards, in the course of the, when we were sitting on our backside and polishing the brasses and you know, drilling, etc., I wanted to join some outfit where I was going to fight, was going to do something.
We'll come to that. So where did you go first?
Well, they sent me to Ilfracombe.
Now, was that the Royal Pioneer Corps then?
Yeah.
Or is it just Pioneer Corps then?
No, at the time it was the A. What did the A stand for? I forgot about it. AMPC. I can't remember.
It's all right.
Anyhow.
So you went there in spring of 1941.
Yeah.
Now, what was your reception like when you got there?
Well, I was surprised. Ilfracombe was a lovely seaside place. And I was put into, there was a big hotel. I don't know if it still exists now with the same name. It was called Osborne Hotel. And they put me in there.
And what was it like in there?
Oh, that was a hotel room.
not to yourself, though. You wouldn't.
No, I shared the room with two other blokes. And oddly enough, these two other blokes, they were also foreigners. One of them was a Spaniard from... Actually, well, when I say a Spaniard, well, he was Spanish, but he came from Gibraltar. But the other one, he was a real Spaniard. But they came from the Foreign Legion. And they were blokes who had been evacuated from Norway. They had been there with the Foreign Legion as part of the French expedition.
And how do you get on with these chaps?
Well, the Gibraltarian was a real son of a bitch. He had to go at me with a bayonet.
Why?
Because he let out what he fought with Franco fascists, and he. proudly, I don't know how true it was, he proudly related that he took part in the execution of thousands of Republicans in the bull ring in Seville. And I had a go at him. And to defend himself, he pulled a bayonet.
What happened then? Or did you just
disarm? Well, the other Spaniard jumped in between and took us apart, etc., etc., you know, and the bloke never spoke about it again. But I don't know if he told a lie, but he said he fought with a Franco-Spanish fascist, and he participated in the execution of thousands of Spanish Republicans in the bullring in Seville.
Now, tell me about your training. What was your training like? How did you take to it? What did they do?
Well, it was drill, marching.
What do you think of drill?
Well, I thought it was a waste of bloody time, but bullshit.
Did they explain why you had to do drill?
Well,
did they explain it to you at all? Or?
Well, they didn't need any explanation. I mean, you're a soldier, you drill. You march, you salute, you do this and that and the other, but we didn't have any rifles until later on. Then we got the old 1914-18 rifles.
Now, hang on. So you did drill. What other training did you do?
We didn't do any weapon training.
What about fitness, PT?
Yes, we did that. You know, fitness, marching all down the coast, down the hill. Then we also helped with a barbed wire
coastal defences.
Yes, coastal defences.
Tell me about that. What were you doing?
Well, we took these barbed wire things and, you know, we fixed them on the, you know, the metal, what do we call it?
Well, stakes.
Stakes, yes, etc. And etc. And that's, but that, it didn't go on very long. Because then I was called away, and I was told I was going to be sent to Preston, to the Royal Engineer Barracks. I was going to be transferred to the Royal Engineers.
Now, why was that?
I don't know. This was a decision of the War Office, you know.
It was never explained to you.
It was never explained to me, but I think the very fact that although it was that somebody noticed that I was born in Poland, then took me out from the enemy aliens. It's a guess. Huh? And I was sent there, Preston.
So you were no longer classed as an enemy alien?
Well, no, I was already in the Royal Engineers. From Preston, I was sent to Chatham.
Now, hang on. What training did you do at Preston?
Not different. I got a rifle.
Is that where you got your first rifle?
Yeah.
And what weapon?
No, I got that already in Ilfracombe. But it was a First World War. But in Preston, I got a Lee Enfield.
And what kind of weapons training did you do?
Well, they took us on the shooting range, right? We did a lot of that.
Were you a good shot?
I was fairly good, yes. Although and my eyesight wasn't very good, you see, already then.
Now, what about any other weapons, bayonet or anything else?
Well, we had a bayonet, yes. They taught us how to, you know, we had the old sandbags and whatnot, bayonet drill and all the rest of it. And,
what about machine guns?
Yes, we have the Bren gun also.
Hand grenades?
No, we have no hand grenades. We have Bren gun training and mine laying.
Tell me about mine laying. What training did you get in that?
Well, we didn't do a lot of that actually in Preston. Did a little of that, and showed us how to lay the mine.
How do you lay them?
Well, you dig a bloody hole in your foot. Come with that.
There's nothing sophisticated about it.
No, there's nothing sophisticated about it. But then, what I did then, I was cheesed off.
So this is still, 1941 you went to Preston, still? And what happened
and
next?
Chatham. Well,
when did you go to Chatham?
After Preston. I don't know for what reason I was sent down to Chatham and sent to another unit. I was being pissed about from one unit to another.
But they're all Royal Engineers.
Yeah, all the Royal Engineers. And what I did in Chatham, it was, I applied after I badgered my commanding officer, etc. I don't know how it all happened. It's all very faint. But I came in front of a panel of officers in response to my request to get a transfer to the Navy. Right?
Now, why did you want to transfer to the Navy?
Because that was the only branch of the forces that were doing any fighting. And I had no chance of getting to the Air Force because of my eyesight. And I came up to that panel, and there were three or four officers. And they asked me, one of them said, well, why do you want to go just to the Navy, right? And so, because after they told me that, being of foreign origin, I stood no chance of getting into the Navy. It wasn't a Navy panel, they were Army officers. And so I suddenly burst out, well, look at my date of birth. They looked at me and said, what's that got to do with? Well, look at it, I said, it's Trafalgar Day. And they burst out laughing. They didn't stop laughing.
But did they allow you to go to trial? Made no difference.
Sent me back to the Royal Engineers.
Now, what sort of training were you doing at Chatham then?
Was it I was the only same? That was just barracks, It was just barracks.
So you were there how long? 41,
just
42? Into 42?
No, perhaps a couple of months or so. But not quite. A very short time. I just had time enough to badger my commanding officer that he got me in front of that panel there.
What happened next then?
Well, I was just sent to a company of engineers.
Which
and
one?
I stayed with them.
Do you remember which one?
I can't remember. 546 or something. An impossible number, in the hundreds. It was number so and so company. And I can't remember. And we were stationed all over the place.
Now, this is in what, 41?
That's already 42, yeah.
42 onwards, right. Yeah. Now, what do you remember? What were you doing in this Royal? What was your job? You were a sapper, were you? So, what was your job?
Well, just if I may use the word again, just regular bullshit. Nothing remarkable. We were stationed, for example, under. I remember one thing because of an incident that happened there. And I was always the only foreigner in the thing. And
How did they treat you as the only foreigner?
Well, there were one or two incidents because I didn't suffer fools gladly, and got myself into trouble, especially with the NCOs. There was one NCO. He was a Welshman, of all people, and he. I always remember his hate-filled visage, which he pushed. We were on parade, and he came up, and he put his face to me, face to face, almost his nose touching my nose, and he said, "I hate fucking foreigners." You know, on parade. That was one incident, and the other one was the sergeant major. He picked on me all the time. He just wouldn't give up. Until one day, he overdid it. We were stationed near Grimsby, and we were in Nissenatz there, and I was on guard. And he came, he saw me there. He wasn't going to inspect the guards, but he saw me there. He came along, he called me to attention, and asked me to lift my left foot. And I lifted my left foot, and he started counting the studs, the metal studs in my boots. And then he said, "All right, lift the other one." And he found, I never bothered to check, but he found or claimed that it didn't have the regulated number of metal studs in my boot, and he told me to go back to the hut. We all had a spare set of boots, right? Which, when we made our beds up, they had to be, you know, nicely stand there, and they were tied together with the laces, right? He told me to ordered me to go back to the hut and put on my spare set, and to make sure that all the studs in my boots are replaced, right? And I went back there, and I was furious. I was really so bitter. And suddenly, and the Nissenhut had doors at the front and at the back, right? And I was going to change a boot, and then suddenly he came in, his great big figure, darkened the bloody door, came in there, and he started at me again. And my father didn't leave any money to me, but he left me his temper. He had a very short temper. And I picked up the spare pair of boots that were tied together. I was going to untie them and so. And I'm afraid I threw it at him. And what happened was that one of the boots must have struck him, because what happened, the other boot slung round his neck on the laces. And I had my haversack was there already packed and all that, you know, because you had to display it nicely. I just grabbed it and I ran out the back of the hut, and behind the hut there was a road going past, right, past a field, and I jumped onto that road and I ran like hell. And I waved down a car. You know, I thought in those days, a soldier, when he went on the road and he just stuck his thumb up, you know, hitchhiking, cars would stop. You know, the next car stopped, and I told them to give me a lift. And they took me along, and they took me down. Took me along. I went to Grimsby, into town, and I don't know if you shouldn't switch off now, because...
You're all right. You're all right. So, no.
I had one of my misfortunes here in this country was that I was never in touch with fellow refugees. I was quite unaware of the centre in Finchley in Swiss Cottage, where Austrians had a coffee house and a meeting place. I never knew that. So when I got my 7 days leave, I used to go down to London, checking in the YMCA in Russell Street, right? And go down to Trafalgar Square, where at the time, you know, to keep the spirits up, the theatres carried on, the opera carried on, and everything. And on Trafalgar Square, on wheels, there was a caravan, and there were a couple of ladies in there. And if you came there as a soldier, you checked with them, they said, what's going? And they said, oh yeah, we got tickets to Covent Garden, we got tickets to Shaftesbury Avenue, and so on. And you got free tickets, because they wanted to fill the places of amusement to keep the spirits up.
But you had no contact with the Austrians in London.
I had no contact at all with refugees.